Radio Ghana. Good evening, welcome to Behind the News live from Radio Ghana in Accra and all regional FM stations of the GBC. I am Abraham Asari.
Let me say that as I was being led down the stairs, it looked very much like being led to face the firing squad or being led into court for sentencing. Well, it shows how powerful you are.
President Mills takes questions from journalists at the castle. So, did the questions probe enough? And what are the policy implications of such presidential media encounter? We pick the thoughts of a policy analyst.
Clearly, the year 2011 was an election year. If you go around, as I did, to the various regions, to the various districts, to see what successes we have been able to chop.
We hear the news live on Radio Ghana in Accra. We are also live at gbcghana.com on the internet. We hear the news live on Radio Ghana in Accra and all regional FM stations of the GBC. We are also live at gbcghana.com. You can contribute to this program by sending us a text 0264418767. 0264418767 is the line. You can send us a text. Please do not call. Just send a text message to that line. It's Behind the News, and it's live. What would you have asked the president if you had the chance news editors had at the castle today to quiz the president? For those of you who watched the event on television or listened to it on radio, were you satisfied with the performance of the president? How about the sort of questions posed to him? There have been mixed reactions to the responses of the president and the depth of questions. While some analysts have commended the president for what they call outstanding performance, others have criticized the format of the event. Yet others think the media encounter focused more on the William H. Judgment debt case at expense of other sensitive national issues. What do you think? Tonight, Behind the News takes a look at this morning's media encounter with President John Atta Mills and the matters that have arisen out of it. The Minister of Information, John Tiakologu, has joined me in the studio tonight to discuss the event. Other resource persons who will also join us later on the telephone line. Good evening to you, Honourable Minister, Mr. Kologutia. Thank you very much for coming, and good evening once again.
Good evening. Thank you for the...
Happy New Year. I've not seen you the whole of this year.
Well, the year has not ended, so you cannot be saying that.
Thank you very much once again for coming. Now,
good.
First of all, I wish to start this way. Do you really think this is the third time the president is doing this, that the president has to meet journalists, you know, once in a year for such an encounter as happened today? Do we need that?
Yes, thank you very much for this question. Let me also say good evening to your cherished listeners. You would realize that in every government situation, the head of the institution will have to give an account of his or her stewardship. And the media represents the mouthpiece of the people. For that matter, if the president has an interaction with them to account to the people through them, I think it's a very useful event to happen. So I think that it's a very useful forum and it must be sustained, because it brings about the issue of accountability to the people.
But then there is a State of the Nation address that is delivered to Parliament. That's also a way of giving account of his stewardship to the people through their representatives in Parliament.
So you can realize that it is an issue of, there are several ways of doing it. There are several processes, and you must be able to take them all. The media must have its chance to be able to quiz the president on behalf of the people. The elected representatives of the people, who are the parliamentarians, also have another forum. And I think the president is more willing to attend to all, both occasions. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Most of the questions that were posed to the president today, I believe, were posed to you as the Minister of Information and other ministers, you know, of this government. So, and I'm not sure the answers were any different from what you people have been doing, giving out already.
To the contrary, somebody said that the ministers have been giving or scratching the surface of the questions. So if they get access to the president, then it means that they are going to get the details of the questions, answers to the questions they have been asking. So if the president has afforded the media this opportunity, I think that it is something we must welcome.
And once in a year is enough?
Oh, the exigencies of the situation will demand. If it were possible, the president would be able to do it almost. In fact, he set out to be doing it almost on a monthly basis. But you realize that there are so many other engagements. So once a year, and in fact, it's like stock-taking, and I think that is okay.
So let's now go to today's event. What do you make of the whole encounter today?
Yeah, this encounter, as I started with, is an accountability process. The president has declared that he wants to run an open, transparent, and accountable government. And I think that this encounter provides the platform for the president to render account to the people, to let the people feel part of the governance system, to let the people make an input through their representatives, I mean their spokespersons, the media.
Is the president prepared before such encounter like this? Normally, do you ministers, you know, and those of you who have been having regular engagements with the media, do you prepare him before he comes?
Naturally, there's nobody who will want to go to farm and will not prepare himself. The president looks at the whole system, the whole governmental machinery, what has been happening, and he says, I'm ready to meet you, I'm ready to answer all your questions, I'm ready to tell you what has taken us, I mean, what has taken us through up to this point in time, that we have chopped a year and we are about to begin another year.
That is to say that...
he must be prepared.
That is to say that he anticipates questions that could be asked.
No, it's an everyday thing. Whatever you do, you anticipate that people will want to find out what is happening.
So would you say that all the questions he anticipated were asked?
Well, I wouldn't say so, because even me sitting at the back, I anticipated some other, you know, questions that would have bordered on development and maybe many more searching.
When you say development, can you be a bit specific?
Yeah, in fact, for instance, today I was sad to know that nobody asked any question on environmental situation. Nobody asked any question on provision of potable water. How far have we gone? Nobody asked on anything about the roads and so on. And I thought that there was much on sensationalism. People wanted issues of controversy rather than development. And I thought that was not enough.
So you are a media man yourself, your background in media. How would you rate your colleagues, media men?
In fact, you are posing me a very difficult question. But at least I'm sure I told somebody that I would just say it was above average. But it could be better. It could have been better. It could have been better. Because what do we seek to do as journalists? We say we want to educate. What, educate them about what? About conflicts? About hopelessness? We want to educate them about development, about their welfare. What is it that they expect from government? Are we going to say that we want to tell our younger generation that they have no hope? So why should we focus our attention on issues of conflict, on issues of, you know, just minor things? We should have been talking more about our energy situation. We should have been talking more about our economy and so on. But it was all woyome. Why?
But you made the point earlier that the president had to give account of his stewardship, and the issue of woyome, I think that it is an important issue, because of the amount.
I haven't said that it wasn't important, but it was overflowed. I mean, almost 10 to 20 questions. I mean, all on woyome. We could have at least focused on more serious developmental issues.
Isn't that to say that it was because the president was not answering the question the way he should have?
No,
if
it were in an exam situation, many of those who posed the questions would have scored zero. Because the president had said that, look, I am looking into issues of this point, I mean this matter. I want an institution that has been set up or established and charged with such responsibility to come and tell me what is there. They have brought me an interim report. It's not complete. So I'm waiting for it. I mean the complete report. The judicial service has also brought a report. But I'm not willing to put out anything there until I've had the full report from the DNI. So why would you come back and ask the same question? If you are an intelligence student, the president has said it all in that answer, that look, I cannot speak more on this matter until I have a full report. Then you come back and ask the same question. If I will mark you zero.
One of the questions that people expected, or somebody said he expected to have been asked, had to do with this maritime boundary issue with Cote d'Ivoire.
You see, that's about security. That's about the state. That's about you feel belonging to a state. You feel like this is my thing. So why is somebody coming to take it? What are you doing to protect me? What are you doing to protect the resources of this nation? Those are the things that we said the journalists should have been looking at. It is something that is of, you know, such significance to everybody's everybody in this country.
And I'm sure, referring to it now on this network, I'm sure people will be interested to know what the state of that issue is. Can you tell us what it is?
Yes, we are in discussions with Cote d'Ivoire. In fact, there's a team that is in place. Recently, we drew the roadmap into going about this thing. And the Minister of Foreign Affairs and Interior and Defense and Lands are up, you know, on the beat to deal with the situation. Just recently, my ministry facilitated the communication plan with them. So something is being done. But I cannot give you the details now.
Yes, so it means that the president would not have given us...
No, that is not what I'm saying. The president, acting through those ministers, is waiting for the report. Not me. They haven't given me the report, you know, and I will not speak until the president has stated the report.
But I believe that many of the questions that others anticipated or expected to have been asked would have been asked if the format of the whole encounter maybe was different.
Can you tell me what format it ought to take?
Well, let me tell you what the format it is now.
Yes.
One journalist appears behind the microphone, asks one question, and he has no chance of a follow-up, and he goes, and the president answers the way he understands it. It's possible that sometimes the president may not get the question that is being asked.
Can you give an example of where you have had a different format that people have got have had the chance to do follow-ups? How many media houses were there today?
So the president
was on his feet for 1 hour. I mean, you have to consider all these things.
In that case, then he could sit down.
No, but I'm saying that if you are talking about this thing, you were informed that it would be 1 hour, and that each media house will be given an opportunity to ask one question, but some even manage to ask two and three questions, you know. So it's not about this. You see, what we are saying is that if the quality of questions, you know, if the depthness of the questions, you know, were such that issues would have been brought up, it's most likely that even the 1 hour that was set for it could have been exceeded.
So, but do we have to allow every media house to ask questions? Why don't we say, okay, we are going to go by a ballot system. We want 15 questions from the media for 2 hours.
Well, you are suggesting something. You said the format, and I asked you, is there any other format? If you are suggesting that next time, maybe we'll do it that way. But there's the tendency in this country for people to go and say that my media house was denied this because maybe I would have said this.
Well, I've heard others even who say they were denied.
You know, but it's not true. It's just like inside parliament. If you don't catch the speaker's eye, that is it.
No, but I'm sure that your ministry and the communications directorate of the presidency have the list of media houses in Ghana.
Yes.
And I'm sure it would be difficult to miss one.
No, but that's what we are saying, that if it's within an hour and you have been notified that it will be within an hour, all you need to do is to try and be seen early. You know, try and catch the eye of the one calling the people answering the questions. And so that you fall within that time. If you fall out of it, fine. But the opportunity on the from the word go is given to everybody. Fine.
Do you think the president has the same feeling as you have, that maybe the kind of questions, the tough questions were not asked, or he's happy that maybe where he had an easy go?
You'll be surprised. After the encounter, we discussed these issues, and the general feeling was that, well, I gave them the opportunity. If they didn't ask, I don't have to, you know, there's another forum in which I'll give elaboration to some of these issues. So, I mean, we were all surprised that we, instead of concentrating on some developmental issues, some major issues of interest to the nation, you know, we just concentrated on one issue. Even the issue of the cocaine, I was surprised it didn't come up.
But if that is the case, then we cannot say the president did well. Because if you are given chief questions and you do well, questions that should have been posed.
I didn't say they were cheap questions. Mm-hmm. I said that they did not probe enough. They did not focus on development. They were just sensationalism. You know, the president himself admitted that, look, nowhere is cool. He was there. He was sweating. Was sweating, and he said, nowhere is cool. So definitely, it's not an easy thing. They were not easy questions per se, but they did not probe deep. That is
okay, in that case, since you're talking about the questions and the kind of questions that some, not only you, have said, did not bother on development issues and the critical issues, we have Mr. Afemoni, who is the vice president of the GGA. He also asked a question. I want to find out from him what he makes of the line of questioning today. Mr. Moni, welcome to Behind the News. You asked a question on corruption.
Exactly.
You think it was a tough question?
To the best of my conviction, such a question should have been anticipated. I believe that Honorable Minister Sadang is his boss, and they anticipated some of the questions, and I believe all the questions we came did not take the president by surprise. And corruption is a major issue, and it was one of the campaign promises to curb corruption. And our position on the corruption desk, or the corruption league table, is not something to be enthused about.
Do you think he answered the question well?
I think he employed the available media techniques in answering the question, and these techniques entail other parrying the questions, either infusing your answer with some jocularity, or a mixture of the two, and he did that. He parried at a certain stage, and he did answer at a certain stage.
If you have a chance to do a follow up, you would have asked more questions on that.
Certainly, but the limitation of time wouldn't have permitted, as the Honourable Minister said. 1 hour duration was not enough to deal with the plurality of media organizations we have. And I also, I'm inclined to side with the Minister that would have done better with some of the questions we posed. They were repetitive, and at certain stages they were boring. But
repetitive because the answers were not satisfactory.
You could see that he wasn't going to shift from a certain position he was stuck to a certain position he was going to commit himself. I don't know that.
If I may come in, considering his question that he posed, what is government doing about fighting corruption? This image that we got by this
Transparency International
wasn't good for all of us. The president said that, look, we have strengthened the institutions.
How?
He mentioned AOKO having been given more
powers,
resources. The powers are already there, mm-hmm. but it's the resources, I mean, both human and capital to work on, the free hands to work on. He mentioned the financial crime unit that had been put up by the judicial service. And he mentioned also that, look, do not think that the corruption is only against politicians, but it's about all of us.
But the point is that while you were in opposition and campaigning, you did not say that corruption is everywhere.
Why?
It was always a politician.
We said that corruption was everywhere, but it was more ripe in governmental corridors.
Is that the same today?
That is the same that we are saying that we are fighting. Whether it is there or not, people will see where is the corruption coming from. When you look at the Transparency International report, they are not talking about politicians. They are talking about all of us.
And that is to say that the institutions you say you have strengthened are not being effective.
No, it's not so. You see, you may be effective, but as you put it, I mean, as the president said, you will not be able to resolve all the matters overnight. You cannot resolve all the matters overnight. So you may be effective, but assuming you have a chronic sore and somebody thinks that he will be able to cure it, it may not just be overnight. He will take it through a gradual process. And corruption is endemic in this country. You know it.
You share the same view?
Certainly, yes, because empirically, the evidence is so clear that corruption is endemic. And what boggles our mind is the chronic difficulty on the part of government to fight. Because whether I like it or not, most citizens are inclined to find ways and means, whether lawful or unlawful, to gain some advantage. And this tendency breeds corruption. And the government has a responsibility imposed by its mandate to ensure that the corrupt practices are reduced to the barest minimum.
Let's go back to the event. And Mr. Moni, I'm a little concerned because you also describe the event as sometimes boring, repetitive and all that. Do you think that this encounter goes to buttress the point that people have raised that journalistic standards are low?
I think we're overstretching the issue if we say journalistic standards are low. Yes, if you take the generality of the media landscape, we are doing well, and the overwhelming verdict is that the media did justice to the professional metal today, but in certain instances, we could have done better. And I believe this is a reflection. If you look at the whole gamut of media space, it can be said that generative media personnel are doing well, but certain sessions, you know, give us cause.
These are senior journalists, we are told. Is that not to say that our journalism is sensational one rather than developmental?
Sensationalism, we all know and admit that it has been the bane to media development, because sensationalism has so many drawbacks. They contribute to the building of an enlightened society, and they tend to trivialize issues, and they tend to bury critical issues, silent issues under sludge of platitudes and trivialities. And as a media system which is supposed to grow with the passage of time, we should try and reduce sensationalism as much as possible and highlight issues which will fuel, which will advance development in all dimensions.
Okay, I'll come up to you. You want to raise a point?
Can I comment on the issue of standards and so on? I think that from the practice that we have seen from our media personnel, they know the practice very well. They know what to do, how to, you know, present a program like you are doing. They know what to, but the issue is we do not do enough research. The issue is about research, and I want to think that we are becoming a bit laxed. I don't want to use the word lazy, but we have become a bit lax.
By that how you feel? You don't want to be by that how you feel.
You see, we should like this.
I think
oral
ministers should be able to say lazy because
this encounter.
But laziness to paint the correct picture.
Yeah,
this particular encounter
was run. I mean, you did the scrolling. I mean, promotion over a long period, almost a week. I had to come in from Upper East this morning, you know, because I was following it. And I came in. So, a news editor, worth his distance, would have gone through a lot of things that we have been talking about. Sodom and Gomorrah, Fulani herdsmen, and what have you. We should have done enough research. What are the things bothering Ghanaians now? Corruption is certainly one. The Uyumu case borders on corruption. Is that not the issue?
Yes, mm-hmm.
So you ask it once. He comes to say, oh, transparency rated us so this way, and it's a border to us. Then the questions are answered. You move to another district. But you come back as if everybody researched on only Uyumu. So the issue, please, I know I'll be reported tomorrow that say Ghanaian journalists are lazy, but please, I mean, if we have to...
He said what you said, even if you feel like that...
If I feel like it, I will not say it. But that is the issue.
Okay. Oh, but on the issue of laziness, I'm inclined to side with Anlandes, who said the naked truth is far better than a well-dressed lie. And the naked truth is that some Ghanaian journalists, some, not all,
are
lazy. Yeah. It is the naked truth.
Sam, that's true.
Okay, but before we continue, here are some responses we've had by way of text. Let's see. Brahima Zakaria, Zakaria. The president to me did not address the questions pushed to him by senior editors very well. I'm highly disappointed. He's simply not on top of issues. Nelson Mboli says the president has done well, but there's more room for improvement. Shami Yendi, I was not impressed in the way the Uyumu issue was handled. The president should come clean on the matter.
If they know the answers, then we don't have anything to bring.
Adamu Daiwa
says,
the president's performance today was far below the belt. He deviated in most of the questions, particularly the question about the kind of leadership style he's offering Ghanaians, or was he a charismatic leader? Well, that question also was up today.
But it's all sincerity. Who judges who? Do you judge yourself? You have been given a responsibility, you are performing. An onerous one like this. Let the people judge you. And that is why there's an election.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at the end of the day. That is why you give account of your stewardship. But you don't come and say, okay, if he says that I'm servant leader, I'm transformational leader, I'm charismatic leader, what will you say? If he says he's all of it, what will you say? So he said that, look, he has been given responsibility to do what? To put food on the table for Ghanaians, to give them the infrastructure they need for the economy to take off, to stabilize the economy, to give them good education, you know. So he says that, as far as I know, this is what I'm doing.
Not whether I'm charismatic or not.
Or the servant or what.
So to you, that was a perfect answer?
This was a perfect answer.
Okay, Mr. Money, so in order to have the right questions, what do you think editors should do next time around? I'm not sure next year's 7th will be a day for another, we'll have another encounter because it will be
shall be champagne popping.
In opposition or...
No, champagne. How do you pop champagne in opposition?
Maybe in your privacy.
No.
I mean, this is some serious reflective thinking on the whole encounter, and I believe... it will do the media a world of good if we could meet maybe an hour before the event and then...
You mean in the various media houses?
Media houses, we can decide to meet at the press center, for instance. The event is at 11, we can decide to meet at 9, and between 9 and 10...
You think they'll come?
We can, the GJ can use it to influence...
No, another way is like you were suggesting, if there will be balloting for, you know, the number of questions to ask, then... You have to ask critical questions and you have to have follow-up. There could be a system where, before the event, the communications department of the presidency and the Minister of Information and the GJA, do you get it, could meet and work out how we're going to go about this thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, those things can be done so that we all are on the same level. Like today they were accusing us of picking and choosing the people to ask the questions. But, I mean, I don't think that Alfred Mone was told that he will be picked.
Oh, no.
You see? No, that's not the case.
No question was planted, nothing was managed, nothing was manipulated. As it was.
But at least the time could have been extended a bit, even with this format. The time could have been extended maybe to 1.5 hours or 2 hours.
Certainly, yes, because reporting, as they say, is about asking questions. And we love it when we ask questions, questions which will extract information from the people from whom we ask questions. And last year, it was 2 years, I didn't want to inform the decision to truncate the time from 2 hours. 2 hours, yes, last year was 2 hours. And I don't know what inform the decision. Maybe the Honourable Minister will tell us to truncate it.
Can I explain
the duration from 2 hours to 1 hour?
I was surprised when it ended so.
No, I think it was explained. You were told that the President has a lot of activities today. He needed to do this for 1 hour and then go and attend to other issues. So that's basically the reason.
Okay, I wanted to listen to one of the answers that the President gave. I think it was on the economy.
If you look at the economy, we've been able to maintain single-digit inflation. Interest rate has gone down, and we have recorded the highest level of economic growth in 2011 that this country has ever known. And that is obviously to our credit. And of course, you are all aware of what other resources we have in the pipeline. I would say, without any shadow of a doubt, that truly 2011 was an action year. We recorded much progress, and I believe that the people of Ghana will testify to what we have been able to do. And I am confident that they will bear this in mind in December this year.
All right, that was President Mills again. Before we go, we hit the lines, we have Dr. Lloyd Amoah, lecturer at Shesi University, who is also going to contribute to the program tonight. But Mr. Akologoja, the President indeed was touting the achievements of the government. He's talking about economic achievements. Are you surprised, in spite of all these, that he's saying, that people still complain?
But I said that those who are complaining are those who are pretending to be sleeping, you know, somewhere in a forum in my ministry. And that is the truth of the matter. You know, if you take, for instance, in my constituency alone for 2011, the number of schools, classroom projects that were put up, you know, there were more than 20 and for 2011 alone. If you stretch it back to 2009, there were more than 50 just within my constituency. And if you stretch it across the country, then you come to, as we put it, the energy sector. You've seen the massive improvement in the energy sector. Many communities have been hooked onto the national grid.
Okay,
agric sector and what have you.
Okay, I'll come back to you.
Yeah.
On
so that. As for the performance of the government,
okay,
no one can challenge it.
Dr. Lloyd Amoah is in line. Dr. Amoah, good evening to you. Welcome to Behind the News.
Yeah, good evening. Thank you.
So first of all, if you had the opportunity to ask the President a question today, what would you have asked him?
Well, there are a variety of issues, but for me, the key thing would have been essentially to ask him what it is that he plans, as it were, to do this year to ensure that our country actually makes the kind of very rapid transformation that we need to make, in totality. I mean, that's the question I would have loved to ask.
And
but it's a hypothetical one, right?
I surprised a question like that was not asked.
Pardon me?
I surprised a question like what you just suggested you would have asked was not asked today at all.
Well, I mean, the journalists will go there with their own perspective, they go there with their own ideas, their own temperament, their own, you know, background, you know. So in that sense, I don't think that one should have an idea that the kind of question that will be asked will be cast in stone. But of course, for me personally, as an academic, as an intellectual, as a patriot, as a nationalist, these are the questions that I think ought to be brought forward. Of course, the other questions that were asked were relevant. There were other questions bordering on policy and the rest of them. So relevant in that sense, yes.
But others have said that the questions were below par.
You are saying people think that the questions were below par?
Yes.
Well, I mean, first and foremost, we have to understand that the nature of the kind of format that they had meant that, in a sense, very key, vital questions, you know, as it were, could not be just properly framed and then put forward.
And that means that they should have made good use of the short time they had. Knowing that they had such a short time, they should have asked them the best questions, or, you know, the most important ones.
Yes, but I mean, the way in which the thing is structured, first and foremost, when you're asking a question, sometimes the complexity of the question demands that you in a sense have the time to frame it properly, you know. And so, given that, in a sense, this particular event did not have the kind of time that one, you know, given former, you know, past events, the kind of duration that those past events had, in a sense, I think that this was to be expected. There was a bit of a rush, and so that meant that asking those questions, that those complex questions that we wanted to see, somehow would have been affected. But, well, you are right as well, that given the duration, that meant that the journalists should have focused on the vital questions and raised them. But I think some of the questions were raised. The STX question was asked, the question that is now on the front burner, the Wyoming case, was put forward.
So many times it was put, it was asked.
And all of that.
And that was asked so many times, or too many times.
Well, I mean, that's the burning question right now. Here we have a republic in which, for me, the masses of our people still face vital questions in the 21st century, in spite of what the Honorable Akologo is saying. I think we face very, very pertinent questions. We have an urban crisis. We have sanitation crisis. The hospitals do not run properly the way we want them to run. The education sector is in crisis. I teach university students. The English, you have problems with the expressions. You have problems with the way in which you expect them to understand the world and where we are going and the rest of it. Right? And here we are, you know, as a country. The whopping amount, 58 million, is allegedly paid to one of our fellow citizens. I mean, definitely that's a question that has to be asked.
Do you think the president answered the questions?
Well, I think that to a very large extent, he tended to be jocular too much. I think there was too much, if you like, a tendency to in a sense, crack jokes and that, you know, which is useful. But somehow I think it took the shine off, you know, some of the answers. For example, when he was asked about one patriot, one compatriot of ours who was unfairly jailed for 14 years, I think his preamble to the question was a bit difficult for some of us. Again, when he was asked a question about his leadership style, again, the way in which the question was answered, in which he said, well, you know, the lady in question did not know, you know, was choosing words out of ten. I think those were for me low points. That took some shine out of the whole process. Again, you know, again, the format is constricting. And so that meant that the president was caught in a certain framework where he had to be snappy, he had to be, in a sense, answer the questions in capsule-like context.
Okay, Dr. Ramo, I'll ask you my last...
affected the process.
I'll ask you my last question, but before I do that, I think the Minister of Information wants to react a bit to what some of what you said.
I just want to commend Dr.
Amua.
Lloyd Amua. Lloyd Amua about his position that, yes, the questions were asked, the encounter was good, but that we could do
better.
I want to commend him for that. But the question on the jail citizen, for instance, the questioner herself did not know exactly what to ask, because if you play back the tape, you hear she didn't know whether the fellow was even put before court, how the fellow, you know, was sent to jail.
But the answer.
Well, you see, if you yourself, you are not sure of what you are putting out there. Your question is maybe truncated in so many formats and so on. What else do you want?
But in 98, the president was the vice president, 14 years ago.
No, yes, but that's what we're saying. If 14 years ago there was a president, he was a vice president, and you know, the onus did not rest on him. If he had been given the opportunity to handle it, that might be a different matter. But there was another regime for 8 years. Nobody knew of all these things. Then you come to another regime, run into its third, fourth year. Then all of a sudden you are being told, you are not being told straightforward that somebody was put before court, the court carried misjustice, and so on. And therefore, you are not able to structure your question in such a way that you get the definite answer you want. So the president says, look, this is a matter of rule of law. Let's look into it. The way you have posed your question, I don't know which part of it I should answer. I don't think
that. So you think that was the best answer he could give?
Under the circumstances, the fellow didn't know what question to pose. The basis of the question did not come out properly. Then let's go to the leadership style issue. He said that he doesn't want to judge himself. You are asking me to say whether I'm transformational leader, or servant leader, or charismatic leader, and so on. I simply don't want to judge myself, because if you understood the things, you should be telling me. You get it? So he said, look, he has been given a responsibility to do what? To serve people, to provide A, B, C, D. Look at the economy. Look at our table. Look at our health. Look at our education, as Dr. Lloyd Amua is putting it. So I don't think the president evaded any question, or he joked about any question at all. And the structure and the nature of questions. Take Ben Efson's question, for instance. It was straightforward.
Well, he asked more than one question, didn't he?
Yeah, no, I'm saying that. It was straightforward. There were two questions, but they were both straightforward. He came out straight and said, look, there is this issue on the verification of the voter. He also thinks that there should be verification of the ballot paper. Will you make additional funds available? Because it borders on, you know, elections outcome. And we must not take chances. He went straight for it. He knew that there was 1 hour allotted. He knew that if he wanted to ask his question, he must go straight for it. So I don't think the president joked about anything.
Okay.
He answered them according to how...
Dr. Ramo, that's the response, but just my last question to you before I let you go. Do you think this encounter is important? Is it necessary? How does it contribute to policy formulation, for instance?
Well, I think it has symbolic value where the presidency avails itself as an institution to ask our citizens to interact with the presidency. So to that extent, it is important. But I think that somehow we have to learn from some of these critiques that have come, so that we can improve the format to allow both questioners and the president, be it the current one, if he's reelected or if he's a Kufuor-Addo and they want to continue, to be able to give us far more substantive responses to the questions that come up. so that it will not seem as if the encounter is being used more or less for politicking. And I'll say that again, just to respond quickly to the Honorable Minister, if the argument is being made that the President did not want to judge himself with the question of leadership, that flies in the face of the President's own position, that he had done well. He had judged himself then. Do you understand? The logic is difficult to take. Again, on the question about rule of law, all we wanted was for the President to assure and assuage the Republic.
Okay, sir.
This government, like other governments, is interested in this question.
Dr. Amwa, we thank you very much. Thank you so much for your contribution, and have a good night. Dr. Lloyd Amwa is a lecturer at Ashesi University here in Accra. You're listening to Behind the News live on Radio Ghana in Accra. I understand Ben Efsin is on the line. Mr. Efsin, good evening to you. Welcome to Behind the News.
Good evening, Ben. Thank you.
Well, the minister just commended you for asking straightforward questions. Do you think that's what you did today? Were you happy with that?
Well, I think that in asking questions, you must let those watching and listening get the import of it. Preambles before asking questions seem to deviate and distract people's attention. And you are in radio. Attention span for answers 2-3 minutes. So if you take half the time will be preamble, I think that you lose the import of the question. I mean, before the press conference, I knew there would be a lot of questions on Wyoming. But there was an angle that I was expecting that nobody will pick. That in the previous cases, starting from PNDC, NDC won under Rawlings, Kufuor, and so on. If you look at the judgments, you see those who had caused the illegal abrogation or illegal termination of the contracts. So if there was, like the president explained, if it is willful, as per the Mr. Fred's judgment, then whoever caused the willful loss should be brought to book.
And so were you satisfied with the answer that was given to your question?
Oh, I was. Because if you remember, I hinted that I think that I'm sure the president would agree that his integrity and his fight against corruption was on this, not Wyoming alone, but these judgment debts and so on.
But
like a questioner asked, in terms of rule of law and justice, yes, if you steal 5 fingers of plantain, it's an offense. You go in for 3-4 months, and somebody's willful neglect or willful act will lead to the government paying millions. Rule of law, you have to pay. Then that person also must also face the music.
How about the whole encounter? What's your assessment?
Well, I think that given that the president had asked Ioko to kind of bring the facts on the table, I didn't expect the president, even if he knew the facts or some of the facts, to be quite forthcoming in such a public manner. Because then the work that Ioko will be doing, he'll be undermining it. So I think within the boundaries of what he needed to disclose, I think that they did well. I think that some of my colleagues too did not come well prepared. So some of the questions, even though they could have been better phrased and a bit expanded, they did not give the president the chance to be able to give more answers.
Mr. Efsin, we thank you very much for talking to us tonight on Behind the News. And Ben Efsin is editor of the Daily Dispatch. Have a good night. Behind the News is live on Radio Ghana in Accra. I realized you wanted to react to something. Can I give you that?
Oh, no.
But are you in government surprised that the issue about the relationship between the president and the founder of your party keeps coming up any time there is an encounter,
because,
media encounter like this?
Because some people want to feast on something they are imagining. The president said that he has no problem with former President Rawlings. He has said it time and again. There may be differences in approach, but there's a possibility of them sitting down and ironing out these things. And this is being worked on. Others are trumpeting it so high just to score some political points. But we don't have any problem.
There's no problem?
Well, I don't think so.
You know so, I don't think so.
Well, you judge yourself.
what do I judge? I just wanted
you
to
choose one of the things that were established. What I'm saying is that within the family, there could be disagreements as to approach on certain matters and so on. We are managing it within ourselves. But the magnitude that people are playing it at, you know,
it's not what it is.
It is not.
Okay,
is
so
not.
Anytime there's an encounter like this and you go back into into your offices and all that, what do you discuss? Do you pick anything from the questions and then you try to work on those things?
In terms of
policy?
Yeah, definitely. That is why
we've had three encounters.
That is why these encounters in the first place are organized.
So what has come out from
we are still discussing.
Not this one. I mean previous ones.
Previous one, you just said that there has been an improvement, except the time, the duration for this encounter. But there has been improvement in the manner that the president came out. You know, that this is what we got it after the meeting. So we are learning, and that is what this.
But in terms of policy formulation, do you think this contributes in a way?
Greatly.
I wish you could give us one.
No, I will not tell you now.
Let's take some text messages. You are listening to Behind the News. This one says, "This from Den Kuma and KJB. Prof is a good leader. In 3 years, he has done what Napoleon could not do. Mohammed Nani in Wa. Today's editors' forum was a waste of time because the president deviated on all the questions. Adamuda in Wa, it's disappointing and unfortunate that the president was emotional and passionate when he was asked about his health status. Why? Kudos, Mr. President. Your performance was superb. You win 2012 election, inshallah. Tasson Solomon. Adun Kwanta. Elias Winwa, the president did well in his approach to questions. It shows he is on top of issues. Daniel in Kumasi, the president's performance was below the pass mark. I will vote against him. Dennis says, so you're listening to Behind the News, and it's live on Radio Ghana in Akawa. So people are going to judge the president, or decide on whom to vote for based on what he did today.
If you recall, the president said that it's unfortunate that in this country we have politicized everything. If you look at the way the messages are coming, definitely they are taking some political lines. And that is not what we should be looking at. We should be looking at a state. What is the state looking for? What is what are the leaders doing for us, instead of just coming out and saying this kind of negative things about it, that do not encourage anybody at all. It's not good enough.
There's somebody who sent a text also about the president's health. Ms. Money, are you also surprised, or what do you think about this question about his health, you know, that is always asked, questions about his health?
To me, there was nothing offensive about the question of the president's health, because being the embodiment of state power, whatever happened to his health should be of supreme concern to the generality of Ghanaians, and any question on that issue is in the right direction. And but there's a limit to which we can ask this question, but if we stretch it beyond a certain point, then certain motives, you know, could be read into that question. But to ask about the president, how do you feel? Because the impression out there is that he's not been in the best of shapes as far as health is concerned. And
you see, why it is becoming a problem is that it is being used at every opportunity. Like His Excellency himself put it, even when he's outside this country, they are falling on his health. Even when he is in a region outside Accra, they are falling on his health. But they do not sit back to look at. So what makes him, you know, click the way he's clicking? He taught the whole country. In fact, if somebody will say it's an exaggeration, but let me put it. We have 170 districts. He taught the 10 regions. He went to every district. He went to every district. You can imagine. somebody, you say he's sick and so on, and he's able to do all these things, and all the time you are chasing him with this. That's why he said, if his presence is a bother to anybody, let the fellow feel it, that he is here to work, and it is God who
but
knows.
Why is it that for the past 3 years you've concentrated this encounter only in Accra at the castle? Do you invite media houses from the regions?
Well, you say senior editors of the this thing.
But there are radio stations and television stations outside Accra.
We have the National Policy Fair we have taken out. We have the regional Meet the Press we've taken to the regions. And
meeting
so
the president himself is around.
What I'm saying is that when the president goes on these regional and district tours, he has encounters with the media there.
Not in this format.
No, that's what I'm saying. The other format that the media outside Accra have the opportunity to do that.
Are they also able to ask questions as those in Accra did today?
Why not? Why not?
But it's not anything properly, I mean, planned. It's as and when he goes to the regions.
If you are talking about the president having regional encounters,
yes, like
with the media, it's different from saying the senior editors, I mean, forum. You get it? Because all if you decentralize, so say that the editor of Daily Graphic will be based in Bulga, we have no problem. We'll go and meet him there.
But are you really sure that those who ask questions are indeed senior editors? Some, not all of them are senior editors.
But if it is that senior editors forum, and you go and bring somebody who is not, that the result is what we are discussing now.
Mr. Money, don't you feel for your other editors in the regions who also are senior editors? I mean, you can have an editor in WOW or whatever, regional editor of whatever, of any of the major news houses, and they should be given the opportunity.
In terms of rank, I think
they are in Accra.
All their media houses have their bosses in Accra.
The private media houses?
All of them have their bosses.
Well, just a news, some news flash. This one, we've just learned from behind the news that the Greater Accra Regional Chairman of the CPP, Nana Bwedi, the Regional Youth Organizer, Zekoting, and some constituency executives from Ashama have all resigned their positions. We'll be following up on this, and I'm sure we'll bring you developments on it as and when. We get them. You're listening to Behind the News. It's like it's almost time to. Why are you both laughing?
It's a hurricane. Which will end now?
You were asking about issues in NDC. You know, that's why I'm laughing. All the political parties have their own issues.
And so you need to comfort yourself. Okay, briefly, just let me take the last comments from you. I'll start with you, Honorable Mr. Kologutia.
Yeah, I think that this forum should be looked at critically. Ghanaians should take keen interest in it. And those of us who represent them at this forum should do more. We should research. We should have the welfare of the people at the top of our minds before we meet the president.
And I'm sure you will say the president should do more. He is staying
to us, the essential element in building a more accountable, more open, more transparent, and more people-centered governance system. And to us as media personnel, I believe we should take the opportunity to improve upon our professional method. And so next year, when we have the opportunity to meet the president, the questions will be sharper, more critical, more
focused,
you know, and something which will extract the right answers from the president.
All right. So I thank you both for coming to our studios tonight and for contributing to Behind the News tonight. Mr. John Akologotia is Minister of Information. Mr. Roland Afemoni is Vice President of the GJ and Assistant Director of Radio. He's a big man here, a senior editor who asked a very focused and powerful question today. That's it for today's edition of Behind the News. It came to you live from our studios here in Accra. The program is produced by, Bri Tagama, Edmond Tete, Kinsley Obintre, Christopher Siedu, with assistance from John Povey.
Very powerful team of producers.
Technical crew, George Kwaku and Isaac Yawedu. I am Abraham Asari. Have a good night.